Please open in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Looking at Acts 13, verses 44 through 52. Acts 13, 44 through 52. Hear the word of the Lord. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from the region. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come into your presence again. We are thankful that we can stand before you face to face, without shame, without guilt, knowing that we are Christ's, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, knowing that we stand in his righteous robes. We thank you for this privilege and this honor for Christ's sake. And Lord, now as we come to your word, we pray that you would build us up in the faith, you would encourage us, you would conform us more to the image of Christ, and you would teach us how we should respond and deal with those who reject your message. Lord, give us understanding and wisdom as we hear your word. Grant grace and peace to our hearts. We ask that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 13 years ago this fall, I was saved by the grace of God. 13 years ago this fall, I became so excited to tell all of my friends and family members about that same grace that could save them. And 13 years ago this fall, I lost all of my close friends at school because of that message of grace. 13 years ago this fall, I became marginalized by some of my family members because of that same message. And 13 years ago this fall, I had no idea what to do at that point. Because the more and more I pressed the claims of the gospel, the more and more rejection I got, and the more and more I became discouraged, and less I was willing to share the good news. And in our text this evening, we read about a difficult rejection. But we also read of an inappropriate response to such rejection. So it's my hope this evening that you won't respond as I did 13 years ago, but you will, despite discouraging rejection, move on and keep preaching, knowing that others need the gospel. The point that I want you to hear this evening is that despite discouraging rejection, move on, keep preaching. Others need the gospel. Let's look at our text and see how it teaches this point by first realizing that it is an exciting thing to proclaim the gospel. Look at verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. Can you imagine the excitement building up in Paul and Barnabas? The text says almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. What an amazing opportunity, especially on a missionary journey. You see, this was Paul's first missionary journey, and he and Barnabas arrived in Pisidian Antioch a week prior to the scene in our text. And this group that was gathering was the result of a word of exhortation or sermon that Paul had preached the prior week on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. All these people were coming to hear more of what Paul had to say. The people the prior week were astounded at what Paul had taught concerning Jesus Christ. He taught them about the promises of God and how he recounted the history of Israel from the captivity in Egypt all the way to the preaching of John the Baptist. He, like I said, he pointed out the promises of God regarding the Messiah to come and showed that Jesus Christ was this Messiah. And that through faith in him and the one who came and lived and died and on the third day rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures, in faith in him, they could have freedom from condemnation, no longer having fear of wrath or judgment. It was this message that brought nearly the whole city together. And it was this message that Paul was so excited to proclaim. You can imagine the excitement, can't you, of someone being the first one to come home after a terrible war, being the one to proclaim the victory that his own countrymen experienced. Maybe you can imagine yourself being the first news broadcaster at the end of World War II to announce on the radio, "The war is over. The war is over." What excitement. What anticipation you would have. And Paul, like a herald come home from war, came to his people to tell them that the war is over. The war is over. There's a message I'm bringing to you to tell you that the war is over. God has sent his son into the world to save sinners. And faith and belief in him will cause an end of the war between you and God. And perhaps some of you, like a herald, come home from war with great excitement in your heart, purpose to go to your friends and family members to tell them that the war was over. And that if they would repent and believe in this Jesus Christ, the war between them and God would be over. Now, what excitement you would have. Perhaps you've had such excitement. It is an exciting thing to proclaim the gospel, especially to those who are near and dear to you. But sadly, we're often met with significant rejection. Sadly, we're often met with people who don't want to hear our message. And it's a painful response. Look at the response Paul and Barnabas experienced in verse 45. "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul." And Paul and Barnabas were most likely standing at the synagogue watching this massive group of Jews gathering, but mainly Gentiles coming. They were probably saying to themselves, "Can you believe it, Barnabas? Look at all these people. And isn't this amazing, Paul? Look, our people are coming to hear the good news. They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to be saved, Paul. And not only that, Barnabas, but look at all these Gentiles coming. This is fantastic. We get to preach the gospel to them." And they begin to preach. They begin declaring the good news of salvation. And as they're speaking, they begin to hear people beginning to talk in the crowd. They begin to hear the voices coming from their own people. Words they didn't expect. People beginning to contradict Paul's words. People starting to blaspheme against Jesus Christ. And you can see the once excited faces filled with joy on Paul and Barnabas begin to fall into despair and distress. You can see their countenances begin to become darkened. You see, the text says that the Jews were jealous. They were envious that the Gentiles were coming. They were thinking, you know, wait a minute, this is our synagogue. And these are our scriptures that he's using. And if there's a Messiah to be had, he's ours, not theirs. And like a child who would rather destroy his own toy than share it with another, these Jews began contradicting and blaspheming and dismantling Paul's words. Can you feel with Paul and Barnabas your heart sinking within you? Do your hearts, do your faces fall with disappointment and discouragement because of the rejection? Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you've experienced something like this. You come with excitement to your friends and family to give them the words of life, but to your great surprise and distress, they don't want to hear it. They begin contradicting your words. "Oh, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I don't need a Savior." They begin blaspheming. "Oh, Jesus was just a good person. He wasn't God. Or he was just a good moral teacher. He was just a prophet. He's not the only way of salvation." Or they might even say, "Well, God doesn't exist." But you persist. You desire to convince them with your loving vehemency and the truth of God's word. You keep telling them about the gospel, but to no avail. It's then you realize that your friends and family have rejected the very words of life. And such rejection can even intensify to persecution. You can see this reality in verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. The Jews, not content with simply contradicting Paul and Barnabas and blaspheming against Jesus Christ, they moved to get rid of these apostles from God, who are to them former brothers who have simply lost their minds. Paul and Barnabas have become too much of a threat. Before, they were just an irritating thorn in the side of Judaism, but now they threaten its entire existence. And the Jews instigate people of influence to turn against Paul and Barnabas so that they'll be driven out of the city, that they'll be banished, that they'll be thrown out. And like a group of students in high school who convince the popular kids to ostracize a fellow classmate, these Jews turn against Paul and Barnabas. You know, that might seem like a silly illustration about the high school students, but it does hit off close to home, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you have lost friends at school or on a sports team because of your witness to Christ? Maybe some of you at work become the odd one out because you refuse to bend the rules or you don't want to tell a teeny tiny little white lie to advance your position. Maybe you're not invited back to family functions because you can't help but talk about Jesus, or your life witnesses so strongly for him they can't take it. You don't fit the mold anymore. Maybe you experience hateful words from those who used to be close to you because of your gospel witness. How have you responded to such social banishment? Have you toned down your message a little bit, trying to be more tolerant of everyone else around you? Or do you keep on preaching to a wall, as it were, just hoping someday the wall would come tumbling down? Or do you become so discouraged that you just stop speaking at all? You stop sharing the gospel altogether, because who's going to listen anyway? Well, I tell you, I think there's a way you ought to respond. And it's the way Paul and Barnabas respond in our text. You must soberly move on. Look at verses 46 and 47. Look at what they do. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" So at this point, Paul and Barnabas realize that their attempts to speak to their own people are futile. The Jews have obstinately rejected the gospel, and in doing so, they've considered themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And it's for this reason that Paul and Barnabas turn to the Jews unto the Gentiles. They move on. They recognize and understand from Isaiah 49, which they quote, that this was God's command to them to move on. There were others to whom God was sending his apostles. In the evangelism class at the seminary I went to, students must engage in door-to-door evangelism. Some of the encounters are profitable, encouraging, but others aren't so much. There are a lot of people who don't want to hear what you have to say. And it would be silly and foolish to continue knocking on a door all day long, a door that's been closed to you, because you can't force them to listen to you. And besides, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's so many more people down the street who need to hear the gospel. And Paul and Barnabas recognized that the Jews had closed the door, and God was commanding them to move on down the street. But don't think Paul did this unemotionally. Don't think that this was a cavalier move, or he spoke in a cavalier manner to them, saying, "Oh, fine, you don't want to hear it? That's fine. I'll just go to the Gentiles. It's your loss." That wasn't his attitude. Remember, this was the same Paul who wrote Romans 9. This is the same Paul who said that he had great sorrow and unceasing grief in his heart. that he wished that he himself could be accursed and cut off from Jesus Christ for the sake of his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh. His heart was broken. And yet he moved on, entrusting his people into the hands of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what you must do. Though it's painful to have people you know and love reject the gospel, you must soberly tell them the truth regarding their decision. That they've considered themselves, they've judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And then you move on, entrusting them into the hands of God. You don't do this with an arrogant spirit. You don't do this in a judgmental manner, but you're broken when you do this. It hurts. But you move on. You move on. Don't spend your life knocking at their door, neglecting the others down the street. But soberly move on. But I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to think that you should move on after you've presented the gospel to somebody once and they reject you. That's not what I'm saying. You keep preaching them. You keep talking to them. You keep sharing with them. I'm talking about those people who continually and persistently reject your message and perhaps even begin to persecute you for it. It's from these people you need to move on. And I'm not saying that you never come back to them or you stop praying for them or you don't care for them. Because if you look throughout the book of Acts, Paul still continues to go to the Jews first. In the very next chapter, even, he goes to the Jews first. But his main emphasis now is to the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. But he continues to pray and have unceasing grief in his heart for those who have turned away from the Word of God. But you need to move on, because there's others that God has elected unto salvation. See this truth in verse 48. That when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Chapter 13 is a turning point of sorts in the book of Acts. And it's here that we see the advance of the gospel continue on throughout the world. This progression was necessary because there were others whom God had elected unto salvation. There were men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation that God was drawing to himself. First it was Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria. Now it's on to the ends of the world. And Paul and Barnabas turned from those who were rejecting their message to those that God had commanded them to speak. And he used them effectively for the ingathering of the elect. And likewise, you too must go to those who haven't yet heard your message. Because God is still about the business of gathering a people to himself. And you may not know who they are or where they are, but you can't content yourself to only continue to speak to those who reject your message and not move on to speak to others. You can't content yourself to stop speaking, thinking, well, I've done my part, I've tried, but people just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the good news. You got to keep moving on. You got to go, because there's others whom God has elected unto salvation. And you are the means through which they'll hear and believe. You're the means through which God will minister his mercy and grace to broken and suffering people. Because there's so many people in this area even that haven't heard from you yet, who are wallowing in a state of sin and misery without hope. Move on and preach to them. And in this way, the kingdom of God will advance and sinners will be saved and God will be glorified. As verse 49 indicates, the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. And this was due to the election of God and the obedient moving on of Paul and Barnabas. And by God's grace and by your moving on, the word of the Lord could be spread to our whole region. To those who might not have heard the gospel otherwise, if you would have just stayed where you were and remained silent. So despite discouraging rejection, move on and keep preaching, because others need the gospel. Look finally at verses 51 and 52. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The text says, Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust from their feet against the Jews. They showed that they had done all they could do And now they were moving on. The shaking the dust off their feet is all too similar to what the 12 were commanded to do by Jesus in Matthew 10. When they were sent to preach the kingdom of heaven to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus told the disciples that if they were rejected, they were to shake the dust off their feet. As if to say, we're done. We're through. The blood is on your heads. This was a visible representation of what they had said in verse 46. You judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. The two missionaries showed that they were through and that they were moving on. And even though such a discouraging rejection occurred, God blessed Paul and Barnabas. They blessed their efforts by bringing others to salvation. And these new converts, these new disciples, as verse 52 says, were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. But note the text says the disciples, and not just those disciples as the ones who recently came to faith. God extended this joy to the apostles as well, to Paul and Barnabas as well. God in His grace and in His Holy Spirit, in the face of such a discouraging rejection, extended joy and peace to Paul and Barnabas' hearts as well. And this is what God will do to you in His grace. He is a good God. He will extend grace and peace to your hearts amidst the discouraging rejection you may face. So move on. God will sustain your heart. He will give you the strength to move on. 13 years ago, I did face a discouraging rejection. But 13 years ago, God gave me the strength and joy to move on. He restored to me the joy of my salvation and the willingness and desire to share the gospel with other people. He taught me the message that we learned in our text this evening, that it is an exciting thing to preach the gospel. The message of reconciliation and everlasting life is yours to proclaim and share with other people. It's a wonderful thing. But we do experience rejection. We do even sometimes experience persecution. So we need to soberly move on. Because there's others that God has elected unto salvation. So we need to trust that God knows what He's doing. And that He'll give us the joy and the peace to move on. So despite discouraging rejection, move on, keep preaching. Others need the gospel. Move on, keep preaching. Others need the gospel. Let's pray.